Today on Real Radio.
And church, what that means to us is this. In route to growing up, you and I are to experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit because it's not all about the gifts. It's about edifying one another.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a section of Scripture today, chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians, that's sometimes argued over when really it shouldn't be at all. As we've been learning, the issue of speaking in tongues in this particular context is for the edification of believers. In fact, Paul uses, interestingly enough, structural engineering terms to get his point across in this section of Scripture. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his series called A Church Under Repair.
When you come to church and your enthusiasm and your emotions are running high and you got everybody speaking in tongues, everybody's prophesying, everybody's got this going on, everyone's singing, it's a madhouse. He says, listen, God is not the author of confusion. Point number two this morning is a church under repair. Verses 34 to 38 is this, in need of operation or operational to be a useful church. It begins this way. Hang on to your seats. I'm so glad nobody left yet because here's the biggie. Operationally, look at this. We're to be operating with honorable conduct. Verse 34 and 35, let your women keep silent in the church. And I'm so tempted to say, and all the men said amen. But that's not what it means. For they are not permitted to speak. That sounds harsh, but don't worry. But they are to be submissive as the law also says. Old Testament. For if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Let me tell you what it does not mean. Paul has already, if you've been with us through this study, you already know that Paul has already addressed the ministry of women in the church, that it's fantastic. Paul the Apostle, listen up, speaks more in support of women in the New Testament than any other New Testament figure. Paul the Apostle in the book of Romans commends female deacons who have been such a blessing to him. He's the one who talks, writing to Timothy, and says, godly women are amazing, a tremendous asset, and they need to be a blessing to others. No problem. Then what's going on? We're talking Corinth, not Chino Hills. We're talking Corinth, not Cincinnati. The Corinthian church and the era in which they lived, check this out. Pretty fun study. I encourage you to do it on your own. Number one, let's do this. When he says, in accordance with the law, that's the entire Old Testament. What is that? That a woman is to have as a protecting covering over her life, technically, a man. The Bible here in the English says husband. So a single woman might say, well, this doesn't apply to me. I don't have a husband. Now, the word means a man, a father, maybe a loving uncle, maybe a grandpa, someone spiritual, a leader over your life to pray for you, love on you, take care of you, watch out for you. The Bible says God has established that, and God says it is good. You say, well, a woman can take care of myself. I'm my own woman. I can take care of myself. Well, sure, you can take care of yourself. But God has established a protocol that a man, especially, listen, in the presence of danger, spiritual or physical, that a man takes the hit. I love to shoot guns. My daughters love to shoot guns. We own guns. We love guns. It's a blast. I didn't mean to do that. You know what's pretty disheartening? Is to go out there as a man, come on kids, come on. And I can hardly hit the side of a barn. Women are much better aims than men are, by far. Women, my daughters are great shots. Great shots. Listen, all you men out there, my daughters are great shots. Anyway, women can do a lot of things better than men. Has nothing to do with this. Remember the Bible says that a man is to be a head, the husband's to be head of his wife? That means, the word means that he's the first one sacrificed on the block. Did you know that? It doesn't mean he struts around, be submissive, woman, don't you know I'm the head? Oh yeah, why don't you keep reading, buddy? The Bible says, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. Fill it in all the way. Keep reading. Well, I believe my woman should submit. Well, if she reads her Bible, she believes you should die to yourself. Right? We're to have honorable conduct. There's a spiritual order. By the way, any culture where the Bible has gone has always exalted the life of a woman. New Testament, Old Testament, listen. That is true globally, has been true for over 2,000 years. By the way, for that matter, slavery, women's rights, child's rights, all came from those who argued from their Christian worldview perspective to have the laws changed. Did you know that? If you know your American history, like Kirk Cameron's trying to get you to know, like David Barton's trying to get you to know, you'll know that. The abolitionist movement came because there were three predominantly white guys who said, the Bible says no to this, we got to stop this. Dr. Benjamin Rush, some guy by the name of Thomas Jefferson, and some other guy by the name of Benjamin Franklin. Pretty amazing, huh? No, listen, here's the biggest punchline of it all. The women in the church at Corinth were like women in any other location in that culture, and it was this. Because of traditions of men, not Bible, they were held underfoot and they were uneducated. They were not allowed to be educated. So here's what was happening in the church. Men sat on one side. By the way, a lot of Middle Eastern Christian churches still do this. I know Russian churches that do this. All the men sit on one side. All the women sit on another side. And what was happening, when someone was speaking the word of God, let's say, you know, Paul's teaching, a woman would stand up and say, hey, I don't know this stuff. What's he saying? We don't get it. Girls, right? We don't get it. We don't get it. They would interrupt the service right there. And Paul is saying, shh. Ask your husband at home when you get there. Can you imagine how long a service would be if these women started? No, they would, well, I don't get it. Explain that to me. Listen, the women were to go home, fathers, uncles, grandpas, if this is your life and you're responsible for young ears, husbands, wives, listen. Look what it says. God views the husband or the man in Christianity as the primary teacher of the woman at home. He's to disciple the home. The man is to do this. Christian men are to be doing this. It's the Christian man that's to take up his Bible and say, hey, kids, come over here. I say this because I believe you should walk around your backyard or at the park. I'm not joking. With your Bible open, telling your kids all about the grass, all about the rocks and the trees. And a man should do the same thing regarding his wife or his daughter. Open up the Word of God. I think the church is sick today because men are not doing this. And I think women are being led astray because they don't have a spiritual covering over their lives like they need. The next thing is a humble obedience. Verses 36 to 37. He says, oh my, this is tough. Listen to him spank them. Or did the word of God come originally from you? You hear that sarcasm? It's pretty thick. This is for real. This is a Greek satire. That's what it means. He is saying to them, huh, you think you know so much, running around screaming and yelling and doing all the stuff that you're so independently, and you're saying things, oh, God told me. Sorry, can't help myself, Paul. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me. He says to them, did the word of God originally come from you? Or was it you only that it reached? Who do you think you guys are, he's saying. He's rebuking them. I like that. It's cool. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Paul is saying, all right, Corinthian church, you're out of control in your operation of the gifts. And what I've just taught, you should know by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that I've been speaking the truth to you. And get off your high horse. You're operating independently. You're saying things like this. I know the Bible says this, but I really feel like doing the other thing. I know the Bible is really black and white about this issue, but I think I'm going to. And what's your justification? You will say, the Lord told me, don't you? I'm not saying you. You guys are awesome. I'm talking about some other church, other Christians. Well, I know I'm married, you know, but that guy I just met at the gym, he's really cute, and he makes me happy. And I know the Bible says that I'm not to get a divorce, but I prayed about it, and I think the Lord wants me happy. You know how many times I've heard this? It's pathetic. Emotionally based theology, trumping the truth of God's word by how we feel. It is a shipwreck waiting to happen. Obedience. I made this up. Corinthian Titus is what they had, and we have to be careful we don't have it. The next thing in verse 38 is wisdom, holy wisdom. In need of operation or operational as a church and being repaired is holy wisdom. He says, but if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. I don't need to talk about this. This is brilliant. Paul simply says, and the word means this. I'll read it to you exactly. Listen to this. The Greek word is agneo. And it means to elect, not to know. It means to willfully be uninformed. Hey, you want to know something about the instruction manual? Don't tell me. Isn't that funny? Things not working out right for you? No, everything's falling apart. Do you want to know the truth? Don't know. Don't. Isn't that funny? You say, I would never say that. But emotionally, we struggle with that. I mean, come on. You guys, if God ripped open this roof right now and said, I want to speak to each of you. Get in line. I want to speak to each of you alone, and I'm going to reveal your heart exactly as I know it. And the Bible says that we even know our own hearts. Would there not be a huge dread that comes upon you in a sense? Think about it. What's he going to find? I don't even know. You'd go through like a major motive check. Right? What about that? What about this? Wouldn't you? And yet that day's coming. And Paul is saying, if you don't want to know, then stay dumb. Ignoramus is where this word comes from. It can be known, but you choose not to know. In a church. Wow. Third and final point, verses 39 to 40. It's very simple. It's in conclusion. A church under repair is in need of completion. Duh. Pretty obvious, huh? You know how we finish buildings? We're still trying to finish this building. You work at it. Sometimes it takes time. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about us. I mean, as a building. I'm talking about us, right, as people. We are not yet completed, are we? Not one of us. When you see somebody that's really self-impressed, self-righteous, they'll always be a legalistic person, very impressed with themselves. They're a legend in their own mind. It's pretty fantastic. And they see themselves as complete. And they use verses in part. Well, the Bible says I'm sanctified. It's past tense, you know. It means I'm sanctified. Yes, it does mean you're sanctified. In heaven, you're sanctified. That means when God looks at you, you're perfect. Isn't that weird? Okay, that's wild. He has set you, he's taken you out of this world and has placed you into his kingdom and you are complete in Christ, okay? That's true. Positionally, that's what the book of Romans is all about. You're perfect in the mind and the eyes of God. But it doesn't take an Albert Einstein to figure out that you and I are not perfect in the sight of one another. So either A, we have a real contradiction here and the Bible's wrong, or we are practically being sanctified among one another. You understand that? In heaven, it's done. Right? It's done. Right now, we're family, warts and all. And we got to get along. You have to make up with one another. You have to say, I'm sorry. We have to say, please forgive me. I was rude to you. Why is that? Because we are being sanctified at the same time. And what that means is this. We are en route to completion in this life and in this world. In church, what that means to us is this. En route to growing up, you and I are to experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because it's not all about the gifts. It's about edifying one another. And if from now on I begin to say, Robin, this is awesome about your life. You're always so encouraging. You are so always, you always have a great word for me. And it's not only me, Robin. I know that you've said that to other people. You have a great word. We all need that, as long as it's true, right? We need to start looking at in the building up of one another and saying it. We should never be, well, I mean, come on, you know I love you, right? No, tell me. As a church. Verse 39, we are to be united together for the completion. Together we finish the job that God has given us. Gosh, I think this is amazing. I love this. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Why? Because the more the word of God goes out, the radio, Bible studies. Why do you guys spend so much time on Bible study? Because it builds people up. You want to come. What did you come for? The Bible. We come to worship God because it's in the Bible. We come to study because it's in the Bible. We want to know there's something about the word of God going out that unites us. That's one of the hallmarks of a true believer. I want Bible. Secondly, together we become all growed up. Okay? I even spelled it like that. See that? Growed up. Together we become all growed up. You know any Christians who are sitting it out? I'm not going anywhere. They got 1,000 reasons, and probably 1,000 reasons we would agree with as to why they don't go to church. But there's one that trumps it. God says, keep assembling together. Why? That's how we grow up. Hebrews 10:25. You'll never grow unless you get involved, fellowship, and be committed to a church. Look, if you don't want to get committed to this church, I frankly don't care. For your spiritual development, go get committed to a church and grow. You'll never grow by being a little bee flying around from church to church. I said that a few weeks ago. You got to bed down, as it were. And then, when he says that, to become all grown up, when he says, do not forbid to speak with tongues, can you believe what you're reading in the Bible? Paul the Apostle saying, don't keep people from speaking in tongues in that setting of waiting upon God. No, don't forbid that. Well, that means that we all become grown up about it. We do what the Bible says about it. And then verse 40, wow. Together we glorify God. How cool is that? Let all things be done decently. That word means well-formed, well-shaped. And in order. That word means regular arrangement, predictable setting. We conclude with this. In a church setting, gathering like this, general assembly of believers, it's to be predictable. In a small group setting, it's not so predictable, because we're open to the Spirit moving as we wait upon God. Church, Christian, is that setting vital and alive in your life? Have you come together for the great convocation of the saints here at Chino Hills? Praise the Lord. But during the week, during the month, is there another setting where you come together among brothers and sisters here and you wait upon God and you seek God and share what God's doing in your life? With some people, church is almost like an explosion. We don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be crazy. And God says, I'm not into that. But then not all explosions are wrong or bad. What I mean by that is this. When God directs incredible power, things can happen. This week I read, you may find this boring, I thought it was fantastic. I was reading a thing on the environment. And did you know, for example, they pointed out that I forget the name of the bay, but it's where the Exxon Valdez crashed years ago and spilled the worst oil spill in history. And ruined the, they said that it's going to ruin fishing and destroy that harbor, destroy that bay forever. And it didn't. In fact, it came back faster than they expected, rip-roaring, productive, beautiful, okay? They made mention of the Gulf oil spill, the British Petroleum oil spill. Didn't they tell us it was going to be ruined for generations? Guess what? It's been repaired. Who did it? Well, that's what I'm talking to you about. They don't know how to explain it, but seems like built into the ecosystem, it already had a plan. And it's repairing itself quite remarkably, and a lot of the fishing and everything's back. And this takes the cake. All this stuff about pollution and CO2, carbon and emissions. You know what, man? Now, I'm going to get you in tree huggers all freaked out, and you're going to never come back. I understand that, but listen to this. One lightning bolt coming from a cloud from 50,000 feet or below, one lightning bolt, purifies more air, polluted air, it doesn't matter what kind of air it is, purifies the air in 1/18,000th of a second. More pure. It's the most contaminated air. Imagine air from like Pittsburgh or something. God sends a lightning bolt. Purifies the air so you can breathe it in 1/18,000th of a second. Faster, more efficient than any known human ability to clean the air. Who did that? God did that. Does he want to do that in our church? Cleanse, purify, power directed by God. Amazing. The question is, will he do it in your life? He wants to. Are you willing?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at a section in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, where Paul addresses the issue of how to do church for the edification of the saints. A Church Under Repair is the title of this lesson, which is part of Pastor Jack's series through 1 Corinthians, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, you might have heard Pastor Jack say this in the past. He says, "If you don't know Scripture, you'll never understand the conflict in the Middle East." It's true. You know, if you and I are left to our own devices without really knowing God's promises to historical figures like Abraham and Joshua, or without knowing the prophecies of Daniel and Zechariah, which are all recorded in Scripture, we might just walk away with an opinion that really is quite opposite of what the Word of God tells us. And so, we're offering a DVD called What's Really Happening in the Middle East. It's a presentation that was recently aired on Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's our TV program on hischannel.com. We hope you were able to catch that broadcast, but if you missed it, it's called What's Really Happening in the Middle East. That's the title of this two-part presentation on DVD. Now get this, we're offering it to you for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Don't let what's going on in the Middle East confuse you any longer. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And click on the banner right there that says, What's Really Happening in the Middle East? realradioactive.org. Our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send a gift of any amount to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, when you call, click, or write, be sure to mention the DVD by name, What's Really Happening in the Middle East. Of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.